to another edition of the Pegcast. I'm your host, Michael Pagani, joined alongside Red Deer Rebels forward, Dwayne Jean Jr. Dwayne, welcome to the Pegcast. Thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
To open up this interview here, I just want to ask, how were your holidays? Did you get up to anything special?
Yeah, you know, the holidays were excellent. I feel like every guy in the league loves to be at home, spend the Christmas time with their family. Just a great time to get your mind off hockey and just focus on being with your family again, being with your friends, just enjoying the moments you have, the 10 days you have. So, I mean, it was excellent. It was good for me. It was good for me personally and to get away from hockey just for a little bit, clear my mind. It was awesome.
How important is it to kind of just step away from the game, even if it is for 10 days or so?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you go through highs and lows through the season. So just depending on that, it's just how you want to get your mind based off hockey. It's just when you're at home, you don't have to focus about waking up, going to the rink and being dialed in 24/7. You can kind of just step back and just reflect your first half of the season. And then after you're done reflecting, just enjoying your time with friends and family. I think that's what was a big part for me. And yeah.
Well, because you don't really get to see your family all that often during the season, right? So it's really nice that you do have those 10 days to relax and not even think about going to the rink all day.
Yeah, actually, I'm very fortunate. I'm really close to my home, so I get to see my family lots. But I know there's guys like our imports that come from Czech that don't get to see their family at all. So that Christmas time for them is really big for those guys because they really get to reflect on their season so far and then just not even have to worry about hockey, just worrying about being with their family because they haven't seen them for 4 months. So, I mean, it's a big deal for them. But for myself, I'm just very fortunate for my parents, and they make it down to most of the games they can. So it's awesome.
Well, let's talk about the most recent game, a 3-1 win over Spokane last night. What went well for the team?
Yeah, you know what? Our division's really close right now. So, I mean, we need every point that we can get. And obviously coming into the game against Spokane, we haven't played them. They're a new matchup. So we just kind of took it like we had to. We're coming in. We're playoff mode for the second half. The standings are too tight. So we're coming into every game with a playoff mode mentality. The first period went really well. Then I feel like our consistency slacked in the second. But overall, in the third period, we probably played our best period, and we came out with the win 3-1.
How do you game plan around teams that are kind of active at the deadline there? Like Spokane just acquired Shea Van Olm. He played last night. How do you kind of game plan around those teams?
Yeah, for us, we're pretty familiar. We played to Shea Van Olm in Kamloops. So with just new guys coming in, I feel like it's just keeping your head on the swivel, just knowing who they are, how they played with their other team, what kind of player they're like. I feel like if you look at it that way, then it's not too hard. But even seeing familiar new faces, we haven't played Spokane. So it was a different matchup. It was a different style of hockey that we usually play, but it was awesome.
You finished with an assist on the game-winning goal last night. What did you see on Sam's goal?
Yeah, I just seen Carson Burney. He chips it out of the zone. And I got speed that I knew I could get to that puck, so it was just a matter of time when I could get to that puck and stick lift him and win that puck battle. And, you know, Sammy just throws a puck on it, and we get lucky, and it goes in. So, I mean, it's awesome.
Johnny on the spot, right?
Yeah, Johnny on the spot.
The next game is against the Americans. As we are recording this episode, what stands out to you about them?
Yeah, you know, it's my former team, so I know a lot about them. I know a lot of guys on the team. They're a good hockey team. They play a complete game. They play a 200-foot game. They're coached by a really good coach, Stu Barnes. The GM's excellent there, Bob. So, I mean, that whole organization's ran really well. My time there was excellent. Can't look back at it like it was probably the best couple times of my junior career I had in Tri. And they're a good team. They're going to come and compete. They're going to work. So I'm just very excited to see some familiar faces and put my brain in battle mode and go against my former teammates.
And you're going to compete even harder because it is that former team.
Yeah, way harder.
Let's get into your story a bit of who you are. Who is your biggest influence to get into hockey?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people like to say their parents. But for me, I have to say my parents. You know, my parents worked really hard from when I was young to be where I'm at today. So if it wasn't for them, I don't think any of this would be possible. With my dad working countless hours, not seeing him for months. I feel like that's the biggest part for me, and is just being so grateful for my parents for putting me into the sport and giving their heart and watching their son just try to live out his dream. I couldn't do it without my parents.
How difficult was that not seeing your dad for months? Like, I can't imagine that.
Yeah, he wanted to do it for the family. He's an excellent family guy. Family comes first to him. Family comes first to all my family members, my sisters and my brothers and my parents. It's always family first. So my dad put on his work boots and just stayed consistent with it. He put his head down. He didn't get caught up in the moment. He was looking more in the future for my family. So if it wasn't for him, to be honest with you, I don't know where I'd be. So I'm very thankful for my father.
Was there a player growing up who you wanted to model your game after?
Yeah, I like to say I watched a lot of TJ Oshie growing up. Not even TJ Oshie. I watched a lot of Jordan 2-2 as well. It's just like how Jordan 2-2 plays such a good game, and then TJ Oshie just plays a straight 200-foot game. So I try to model my game after TJ Oshie. He's good with the puck. He plays a full 200-foot game. He's reliable. He doesn't make too many mistakes. Yeah, I just like to model my game after him.
Did you end up watching like his Soshi shootout greatness there?
Yeah. Yeah. That
Dude,
was
that was
crazy.
insane. Oh my God. And as someone who models, kind of he's like your role model, and it's like, oh my God, he goes like 4 for 4 or whatever it was in
Yeah.
the shootout against Russia in their home, in their
Yeah,
building,
in
in
their
their
home
barn.
barn.
Shows him up, man. So you are from Edmonton. Did you cheer for the Oilers growing up?
Yeah, I've been an Oilers fan since I've started watching hockey. I think that's probably what got me into it. I was watching the Oilers when I was younger. Again, I'm very fortunate for my parents. We got season tickets. So when I was younger, when I was able to go, I took every chance I got to go watch the star players. And you don't get to see that very often. So I took an opportunity for every time that I could go, that I would go with my parents and just try to watch to see what they do and try to just model it into my game.
Do you have any memories of the Battle of Alberta?
Yeah. Oh, of course. I was me. So the Battle of Alberta when, not no, yeah, we went. We had our season tickets then. I was still in hockey though, so we were still in playoffs. And then so it was my siblings that got to go. So I didn't even get to go. So it's just my siblings.
Shit. God damn it.
I was at the game when Mike Smith and Cam Talbot fought.
Really?
Yeah. And then
What was
Ethan
that
Bear
like? Because
fought.
like I was just watching that on TV. I couldn't believe
It
it.
was nuts. It was nuts.
You never see a goalie fight.
No, never. And
Oh
that's when
my
Ethan Bear
God.
fought DeChuck.
Yeah. Dude, that
Yeah.
was like that whole game. It's just so crazy.
Yeah, it's those games are insane, man. They're one you want to watch.
Do you have any memories of when the Oilers clinched number one in the lottery and won the McDavid sweepstakes?
Oh, I was at school. I had I don't even know whose jersey it was. I taped McDavid on the back of the name bar as soon as we won the lottery.
That's crazy. Okay, because like last night I went to the Sabres and Kraken game, and so like Buffalo hates Eichel. I never knew this. They actually hate his
Yeah,
guts.
that's what I heard.
And so a fan had a 15 Sabres jersey, but the number on the back was like duct tape black duct tape out. You couldn't see Eichel. It was hilarious.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, I've never, because I love going to NHL games and I try to go as many as I can, but I've never seen that before. I've never seen a city hate one
One
player
player.
so much. And I'm just like, that is insane. I couldn't believe it.
Ruthless.
No kidding. Yeah, but with you being from Edmonton, did you go to many Oilers King games then?
Yeah, actually, when I got a bit older, so I lived on the reserve till I was like 8 years old, and then I moved to Lac La Vache, lived there for 2 years, and then I moved to Edmonton, and then I moved in with my first billet family, like for my new team, and it happened his brother was drafted to the Oil Kings, so we ended up going to as many as we could during our season, and yeah, I always knew I wanted to play in the Western League after going to see the Oil Kings, so. Always made it a dream of mine.
Well, it's always kind of cool to hear players like talk about how, they were once a little kid in the Rogers place cheering on the Oil Kings. Next thing you know, you're sharing the ice. Like you're growing up and you get drafted by
Yeah,
them, right?
it's crazy how time flies so crazy. Like just reflecting on my junior career so far, like I'm 28 in April, and I'm just like, wow, I remember just walking in when I was 17. Like, geez, time does really fly.
At such an early age, you had the opportunity to play with Matt Savoy at the Alberta Cup for Team Alberta Gold. Was it then that you noticed how talented he would become?
I've known Sav for a long time. Even before that, we've been buddies for a while now. But I knew straight from day one, the first day I played Sav, that he was going to be something else. Even the work ethic he has in the gym too is crazy. He works his ass off. He's dialed in 24/7. So I mean, he's a really good guy. He's a really good buddy of mine. Yeah, I knew from day one. He's crazy. He's crazy.
Is he just a pain in the ass to defend?
You can't. He's too fast.
He just blows by you.
He's an insane player. He's on the next level.
You had the chance to play in the Alberta Elite Hockey League. That league produces elite WHL talents, such as Nate Danielson and Jaeger Furkus, to name a few. Did you feel relaxed going into that league, knowing that they have kind of that consistent basis of producing good talent?
I mean, it was just, for me, it was a fresh start and something new. It was my first time playing club hockey again for a couple of years, so to see those big names, like, I'm buddies with Danielson and Furkus too. I played with them at the top 80 in Alberta Cup, so just to see the matchups we were going against, like, I had Brett Hyland on my team. I was going against Cohen Ziemer, Ty Schodeloff. So I mean, there's big names, and it was good compete. I wish the season would have lasted a bit longer, but I got very fortunate. I got listed by try the last game actually of that season. So I don't, if it wasn't for that season, I wouldn't probably be where I am right now either. So
Did you pay attention to the World Juniors at all with knowing Nate for so long?
I know a few guys on that team, like Geeky, Savoy, Danielson. I haven't kept in contact that big with Nate, but I mean, it's World Juniors, every kid. You watch it growing up, so I mean, you can't really give it up. You got to watch those games. You're rooting for your country, so.
It's a second Christmas, right?
Yeah.
You were so let's talk about Tri-City. You were drafted by the Americans in 2021. What do you remember from draft day?
I wasn't even drafted. My Bantam year, I got passed on, and it was kind of an eye-opener for myself. I had a big talk with my parents, and we kind of just went off of what's next. And it was just really me just putting my head down and just working as hard as I could. And I went and played the next year. I had a really good year. No interest yet. So, I mean, it was back to grinding time. And then COVID happened, and COVID was very fortunate for me. I took it really for granted. I was in the gym every single day with my little brother, just trying to out-compete him. And then we played our six games, and I ended up getting listed after our sixth game. I got a phone call from my advisor just letting me know that I got listed, and we don't know by who yet. So, I mean, it was for me, it was just, I'm very grateful that I didn't even actually get drafted. It made me actually work so much harder, put my brain in a different mental space of how to work hard and not to take anything for granted. So I'm very thankful that I actually didn't get drafted, and it's made me a better person. It's made me a better person all around, not even hockey wise, just not taking anything for granted anymore, because you never know what's going to happen.
So you kind of just had that chip on your shoulder then.
That's all I could do. I was just another kid in a tryout jersey at that point, so I had to really show that I could play at this level, and I could stay in this league as long as I can.
How big of a jump was it from AAA to the WHL?
Yeah, I feel like for me, again, for COVID, I moved to Saskatchewan so I could train and skate while everything was closed down in Alberta. So I feel like I took a really big jump in my game there. I put on 10 pounds of muscle. So I feel like for me, it wasn't that big of a jump, but I feel like it was still a really big jump. The speed, you're playing against men. So I feel like that was the biggest thing for me. But as soon as I feel like I got my boots wet, I was pretty okay.
In the next season, you did get traded to the Rebels. How did you find out about that?
Yeah, so my dad got in a super bad car accident, and it was only up to, my mom was the only one home. Like, that was the only one really taking care of him at the point, besides my siblings. So I just went into Bob Torrey's office, and just, he knew what was going on. And the The organization there is unbelievable. They got me out of there that day. It was nothing with play style or nothing like that. It was just what happened with my dad. So they gave me an opportunity to be closer to my family, and I can't thank them enough. They're great people over there. My billet family, Jenny, her kids, Candace. It was awesome there, and Try just gave me another life to be closer to my family, to help my family what was going on. So I can't thank them enough. And I'm really happy to that I came to Red Deer. It's made me such a better hockey player. All around, I've become a way better person. It just everything, about this league makes you better in each way. If it's coming to the rink every day or just hanging out with buddies, you grow with them, you grow as a person with them. You learn so much from off your teammates. So I feel like this league has made me such a better person, and it's opened my mind a lot more.
So it must be nice to get traded to a team so close to home, right? Where you just feel kind of more comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely it was a hard for me to get into it here. The conference is a little bit different, so it was just figuring out how to play in this conference, and I've became a really good hockey player since I've gotten here. My game has really shaped out to be a way better 200-foot player. So I can't thank Red Deer enough for that.
How did you see your role change over the duration of last season when you did get traded to Red Deer?
I was playing a lot of minutes in Try, and then I got traded to Red Deer, and we were the hottest team in CHL. We were 15-0. So I mean, obviously my role changed a lot more than it did was in Try, but I mean it was for the team purpose. I knew that, and we had a sick team. We had an awesome team, a great group of guys, and you don't see it very often. The team go 15-0 to start the year, so I knew my role was going to change, and I didn't mind it. I just again had to put my work boots on and just work every day.
Last season, you guys went up against the Calgary Hitmen in the first round of the playoffs, holding a 3-1 series lead against them. How did you make sure to finish them off and not kind of let the Hitmen slowly creep back in?
Yeah, I think that was a big piece for us. We knew we were going to have some hard competition in the next round. So as soon as we went up there, as soon as we went up 2-1, we kind of knew that we needed to close it off. We couldn't let it drag. We needed our rest. We needed to be ready for the next round. So, I mean, in the moment, it was focusing on winning the next game, and then obviously looking into the next round. But for that, it was just keeping our head down. We were a really consistent team last year. We are this year, but last year we were super consistent, so we knew when we had Calgary that we had to take them out and we had to be ready.
That series featured two overtime games. What's it like for you to be put in that kind of situation?
Yeah, it's nerve-wracking. Obviously, my role wasn't playing in overtime last year, so I mean, I got to watch a lot of that. We had some great players like Kyle Chess scoring 50 goals. We had Grubb, we had King, we had Eisley. You can just name them all. So it was just watching those guys in the moment do their thing. Even watching from the bench, I mean, watching them go down in your zone, you're like, oh my God, like, what do we do? Like, what's going to happen, So it's nerve-wracking. But to see us shut them down in both those overtimes, it was fun.
Well, even like there was a 6-5 overtime game, or like could you describe that atmosphere?
Yeah, they actually, we were winning 5, I want to say 5-3, and they scored 5-4 with like 7 minutes left, and they scored with 10 seconds left to bring it to overtime. And then Ben King scored it. The boys are fired up. Yeah, I can remember like it was yesterday.
Just the hairs on your skin stick up, like it's
Yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
In the second round of the playoffs, you guys went up against the Blades, coming back down 3-0 in the series, to win it in game seven. How do you carry that knowledge of what you learned forward in your WHL career?
Yeah, that was my first taste of playoffs. So, I mean, for that to happen, it was obviously really tough for the group we had because we knew we could have went all the way with the group we had. So, I mean, just for this year, I feel like all the guys know what it takes to get to that to the next round. We all got a taste of it. We just got let our foot off the gas a bit, I think, and we kind of got caught up in the moment. But for this year, I think it's going to help a lot of our veteran players just knowing what it takes to make it to the third and fourth round. I know all of us want to see what it's like to be in the fourth round, packed barn. It's going to be crazy, and I hope that we can make it there. We have the team to do it.
Are you able to describe what it is like having this series kind of slowly slip away from you?
Yeah, it kind of happens like just like that. You kind of you're just stuck in the moment. I feel like that's a big piece. You're stuck in the moment. We didn't think it was going to happen. We're up 3-0 and we're going down there to play and kind of shit the bed. And then unfortunate game five at home, bad bounce, and then we go back there and we kind of just lose and you're just like, how did this happen?
And then it's game seven. Anything could happen in the game seven, right?
You're speechless and their barn's packed, they're booing us, their barn's sold out. So I mean it's just like you kind of just hurt, you're speechless, you're lost for words, you're like, how did this happen?
Well, plus you're crossing over into a whole other province. You have to make the road trip. So it's like,
Travel,
fuck. How have you seen your game develop from your first game in the dub?
yeah. I can go on for a long time. I mean, my game has really rounded out to playing a complete 200 game. I feel like I used to just worry about offense, and ever since I got in the league, I had to learn how to play defense. If I wanted to get over the boards, I had to learn how to be a reliable and how for when my coach calls my name that he can trust me when I go out there. So I mean, from now to when I was 17, I can definitely tell there's a big difference in my hockey, just even just like not making mistakes, just being dialed in 24/7. You have to be dialed in or things aren't gonna go away your way, or just even taking care of your body. That's a big thing I've noticed since I've been in the league, is you actually gotta take care of your body and realize what you're putting into it. And it's more than just hockey if you want to be a good player in this league, and just shaping out your game. I feel like my game's shaped out really well since I've been in the league, and I'm just trying to keep it going.
From looking at your stats, it gives me the impression that you are a playmaker. Is that kind of a fair evaluation?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could put up more points. I feel like I play a better game than my points show, but yeah, I feel like I'm a more of a pass first guy. I like to shoot the puck, but I would say I'm a more of a pass first kind of guy.
Well, let's talk about the Rebels' success so far this year. Fifth in the Eastern Conference, or we're well, not fifth, but you guys are kind of in that tight division.
Yeah.
What is going to be some of the keys for the team to have success as the second half gets underway here?
Yeah. We started off kind of slow at the start of the year. So we had a new coach, new systems. We're just trying to get used to those. So we had a slow start to the year, but I mean, you look at our team from now, from then, it's a totally different team. We all bought into the system. We've all bought into being a Red Deer Rebel. And we're in a tight conference right now, so you need to be consistent the whole rest of the second half. And I feel like that's what our coaches preached on us a lot lately since the break, is we have to be consistent. Because you never know what's going to happen with how tight the conference is. So I mean, it's just showing up and being consistent every day, even in practice, making tape-to-tape passes, knowing what you're doing. It's just being dialed in. Because I mean, I haven't seen a conference this tight since I've gotten to the league. So it's just being consistent.
Just got to run the table.
Yeah.
How come you chose to wear number 22?
I haven't actually wore 22 before. I had a few options and I haven't wore 22. And it happened to be one of the persons I grew up watching. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. I didn't even get to choose 18 when I was in try either. So I just kind of just got it given to me. But yeah, I feel like 22 is a sick number. I looked up to Jordan Tutu, so, and he wore twos. So
Yeah, well, exactly, right? You look up to this role model, and next thing you know, you're wearing his number.
his number, yeah.
Besides the obvious main accomplishment of winning the WHL, what are you hoping to accomplish?
What I'm hoping to accomplish is, besides winning the league, I would just say is becoming a better hockey player and a person. Opening up my mind to everyone else, not being stubborn, just trying to be the best version of Dwayne. Just coming in every single day, working as hard as I can, being a role model to the younger generations of the Aboriginal people, and just being a veteran player for a rookie. He's just trying to be a leader, and then obviously trying to make the next level, playing a consistent game every night, and just trying to make it to the next level is my goal for the next rest of the season.
Have you played in any Teddy Bear Toss games?
I have actually, in Tri-Cities, I had a dream that I was gonna score backdoor in the game, and first shift, I missed the backdoor, and then last year I actually scored a teddy bear toss goal. So
It must be just so much fun to see all the teddy bears just rain down.
mine was a bit unfortunate. We had two goals unallowed before, so it was just a couple bears, but when I was in try, it was crazy. Even like this year, UChess scored ours, and it was insane. Did you see the Hershey Bears had 70,000?
I couldn't believe it. Well, it's because like they keep setting these record numbers. I'm like, how the fuck is like, are the fans
Yeah,
bringing
a
five
seventy
bears?
thousand.
Like, what the hell? How are you? How, dude, like, something need, like, we need to get a
That's
research done on that.
insane.
It's crazy.
That's insane. 70,000.
And I'm watching like junior hockey OHL. I was like, oh yeah, 20,000, that's nothing. Hershey's like, yeah, let me top that real quick. 70 says, yeah,
70,000.
what? Like, what? Crazy. I couldn't believe,
Nuts.
and like the teddy bear toss is so fun. Like, I love it.
Oh, everyone wants to score that goal too, so everyone's going. Everyone wants to score.
Was there any money on who would score or no?
No. We
Oh, missing the team bets.
kind of all knew it was gonna be Uchaz. I mean, he's our number one goal scorer, so.
Through your career in the WHL, do you have a favorite and least favorite arena to travel and play in?
Yeah, actually, I would say my favorite arena would have to either be, I would say have to be all the US divisions. Spokane, Portland, Seattle. Seattle's insane. Portland's insane. Spokane's insane. All their fans are insane. The US Div is something else. It's crazy down there. And then I would say probably either Swift Current or Winnipeg last year. Winnipeg is kind of brutal. Such a long travel, and then you're in two different rooms. You got a forwards room and a D room.
Actually,
Yeah.
wow, that I never knew that about Winnipeg. So, I mean, obviously they've
Yeah.
moved since, right? But like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
No
It
wonder
was
they moved. Wow.
my first time being there, so, and it's cold down there.
Boy, yeah, I mean, it's
Yeah.
obviously cold. They're not getting 20
Yeah.
degree weather. That, wow, interesting. Okay. So then how did you like, how does the, do you guys just gather in the room, like one
Yeah,
room for,
one
wow.
room. Yeah.
That's crazy, because I thought you know what, the standard was just one room, but no,
Oh, but
obviously it's not.
besides on game day, you get an actual room, but for practice days, you're in two different rooms.
Yeah, of course. That's so weird. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have some just like quick fire questions before we hop off this interview here. My first one is, what is your favorite vacation spot?
I would have to say when we went to Bahamas, me and my mom and my dad when I was younger, it was I haven't
That
been
sounds
anywhere since
awesome.
then, but yeah, I haven't been able to go on a vacation in a while.
I mean, personally for me, I love Ottawa. Ottawa is awesome. I love the tourism there, the museums, everything to
I've
do
never
with
been to
it.
Ottawa. I've
Yeah,
never
like
been
there's
there.
so much to do there. And like obviously I've asked a lot of players this question, and you know, they say Mexico, Bahamas, like the warmer destinations. I'm over here,
Yeah.
I'm like, I love the freezing cold.
I
I love the
love
wintertime.
I've never been to Ottawa
Yeah,
actually.
no, it's actually like the stuff to do there is so awesome. And me and my family, we try to go up, like we love it so much. So, like we don't even have family up there. We just love the tourism. So we try to go up every once in a while. But yeah, like that's my favorite vacation spot.
I've never been there, so I couldn't tell you.
For your TV show, like do you have any favorite one or like do you have a favorite
I'm not,
movie?
I wouldn't say I'm a big TV guy.
Ah.
I'm more of a video game guy.
Oh, what games are you ripping?
I play a lot of Hut and Shell, and
Yeah.
then some Fortnite with the guys once in a while, but I usually play
Those
the
are the
Hut.
two games I rip as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big so I am a sniper, 5'9" sniper build on
Initial?
Eshul. Yeah, on
Yeah.
Eshul. I just love ripping Genos.
It's so fun, yeah. Like probably after this, I'm gonna hop on with my cousin and start playing.
Yeah, well, why not, right? Fortnite, you know, like I love that. I got the Peter Griffin skin.
Yeah.
I grinded that, man.
You?
I saw it in the battle pass. I'm like, ain't no fucking way I'm missing that. I'm
Well,
grinding for that.
the Eminem one was pretty sick too.
It was. I like what they did to the game. I won't lie.
Yeah, it's fun. Like I don't really play it that much. Like I'll just join up when all the boys are playing Tilted Zone Wars, and we all just kind of play in a private match. But besides that, I haven't really played it. I don't like the run, the sprint.
No,
I
it's
don't like
so
that
dumb.
much.
The movement they messed
Yeah,
up on so badly.
and you can't run
So
and
badly.
build. You can't run and build. So I'm just like, I
No,
don't even
it's
know how to
not.
play this game anymore.
My last question for you is, do you have any advice for any hockey players?
Yeah, I feel like if I could give advice to the younger people is things aren't going to go your way all the time. You got to keep your head down, and you can't stay in the moment. Nothing's guaranteed in the hockey world. So I mean, it's just putting your d head down and working harder than the person next to you, even if it's your teammate. You're in it. You're kind of in it for yourself, trying to make a career out of it. So I mean, it's just putting your head down. Don't be in the moment. Nothing's guaranteed, so it's just putting your head down, staying dialed, and just outworking the person next to you. If it's your teammate, if it's a stranger, just outworking him and trying to be better than everyone else. So I feel like that's a big part of my career is just trying to be better than the person next to me.
Awesome. Well, I'd like to thank again Dwayne Jean Jr. for joining me on today's podcast. Thank you again, Dwayne.
Thank you so much. I had so much fun.